Well, good morning, everyone. At least those who are here this morning. It's good to see you. Seem to have a number of people missing, but nonetheless, worship is all about quality rather than quantity. So whether by few or by many, it's always great to be able to gather together to be able to worship God. Amen? You know, this past week, we received quite a bit of rain. It's believed to be one of the highest amounts we've received in a week's time. You know, it definitely saved many people time from watering their grass. I know my neighbor who works on his grass diligently was pretty excited that God took care of watering the grass for him, so he didn't have to go out there and water the grass. But you know, you think about grass itself, you think about having green grass. They say there are many different benefits to having green grass. There are therapeutic benefits. They say it improves the quality of your life. They say that when you have green grass, it uplifts your spirits. And also gives the owners a place to entertain their friends. So there are many different positive things. Even when we think about green grass, we think about the beauty of it. You know, when we think about, and we've heard this cliche, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. It's usually described and used as a positive reference when we think about the beauty of green grass. And the idea is that there's always something better on the other side of the fence that we are missing in our lives. So rather than experiencing the satisfaction in the present environment, there is more, something better, elsewhere, whether it be in a different place, different circumstance, a different relationship. Meaning that the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. And for some people, it could be in terms of relationships, could be a career, could be where you live, could be an organization, or it could be a neighborhood. So when the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, we're usually placing personal unhappiness or discontent with ourselves onto someone else or something else. We rely on changing our external environment to gain a better and deeper satisfaction. You know, environment changes can bring a brief emotional high. Then what happens is that same dissatisfaction keeps going and going and continues to go. You know, the grass always starts out a nice and shiny green, then begins to wear a bit with use. But what's important is that it needs to be maintained to stay nice and green. The dulled green or even brown grass on the current side of our fence would be greener if we nurtured it. As I mentioned, you know, my neighbor, I live a few streets down, you know, he probably has the nicest green grass on our street. It was never that way at the beginning. When we first moved, the ones who had the nicest green grass on the street was Howard and Carrie. Yeah, what happened? That's another story itself. You know, our grass is green. Everyone's wondering, what do you guys do? Do you guys use some kind of like fertilizer or something to keep your grass green? But no, just we take care of it. We got our lawn service that also helps us. But we take care of it. We do what we can to nurture it, water it when we can. And so our neighbor, he's out there diligently. And so for ourselves, because, you know, you need to water it, continue to water it. Didn't water the backyard. Didn't water the front yard. And so then our grass started turning brown. And so now, all of a sudden, we're back into the grass is starting to be green again Because obviously God helped us out this week with lots of rain that we ourselves didn't have to water, so our grass is heading the right direction to be green. You know, there's an author, Robert Fulghum, author of the classic book, All I Really Need to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. Put it this way. The grass is not, in fact, always greener on the other side of the fence. Fences have nothing to do with it. The grass is greenest where it is watered. When crossing over fences, carry water with you and tend the grass wherever you are. Before we get to, we're going to watch a video clip of someone, the lights. Think about our own circumstances, it's always important to have the right perspective, because we can be very easy to get discontent in our own circumstances when we look at someone else's. But what's always important is to realize that, you know what, the grass being greener, it can be green wherever you water it. And today we're going to take a look at, and that's the title of today's lesson, The Grass is Greener Where You Water It, to give us perspective into our own lives, but especially as disciples of Jesus Christ, give us perspective as disciples here this morning. Amen? Before we continue, let's go to our Father in prayer as we continue our time here this morning. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful to be able to be here this morning. Father, for those who are not able to be here, I pray that you watch over them. If they're traveling, give them a safe travel to where they're going and a safe return back to Ottawa. But Father, I pray that as we've gathered here this morning, Father, I pray that as we study your word, as your spirit speaks to each and every one of our hearts, Father, I pray that you help us, God, to really listen to what your spirit and your word has to say to us here today. Father, to deepen our gratitude, to deepen the appreciation in our lives for what Jesus did for us on the cross. And Father, I pray that as we leave here today, as we go through our week, that Father, we'd be remembered, we remember, Father, how good we have it as disciples. And that Father, we'll live our lives faithful, each and every day, living in gratitude to what you've given us. Father, thank you. We ask that your spirit work through me, work through our hearts, as we study your word at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And we'll begin reading in verse 11. So as Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, and I never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I can celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. You know, here we see a parable that Jesus used to describe a father and two sons. And of course, in the parable, we think of God as the father. You know, the son asked for his inheritance, although the father was alive. You know, it's like saying, you know, Dad, one day you're going to die, but I'd like my inheritance right now. I don't want to wait until then. I would like to have it right now. You know, according to the Jewish law, a father who had two sons would leave two-thirds of the estate to the older son and one-third to the younger son. It happens when you're an older son. You know, you think about how you would feel if, you know, the son came up and asked you. I don't know what this father felt. But regardless, the father gave him his share and he let him go. Let him go to go off and make his own choices. The son takes the money and runs. It says that he set off for a distant country, squandered his wealth in wild living, and eventually became in need. You know, I'm not sure what the younger son believed when he was living at home with his father. You know, you think about, you read about the father, where the father just threw his arms around him, waiting for his son to return. But I'm not sure what the younger son felt when he was living with the father. But I do believe, though, he believed that there was something better out there than his current living situation. That he believed, you know what? The grass is greener on the other side of the fence. So I'm going to go take a look to see what's on the other side of that fence. So he went off, squandered his wealth, because there were certain promises that maybe he thought were going to be met, and he then became in need. There was famine, he became in need, and then he needed to. And it says, hard to feed the pigs. And back then, pigs were considered unclean animals. Jews would not even touch pigs so that they could remain clean. So for a Jew, feeding pigs was a great humiliation. To eat the food that the pigs touched was very degrading. And this son, who we could probably say, rebellious, ungrateful, discontent in a situation, even entitled, went off to free to live as he pleased, hit rock bottom, unhappy. Eventually he came to his senses. You know, I think about what comes to my mind is, you know, I grew up in Toronto in a rough neighborhood. And, you know, like any preteen, probably around 10 or 11, you know, I wanted to experience life. Of course, I'm 10. So I wanted to experience life. So, you know, I felt like, you know, at home, because raised by a single parent and very protective mom, felt like, you know what? Mom, she's too protective. We don't get the freedom to do like other kids do. You know, we don't get as many luxuries as other kids do. And so therefore, I was not happy. So I decided, I'm going to run away from home. So I took all that I had as a 10-year-old, which was probably $2 in my pocket and a bag, and I set off. And I was telling my mom, I remember telling her, you know, I'm going to leave. And she probably didn't think I was serious. Said, okay, go. So I went outside thinking, you know what? I should do this. So I remember walking to the bus stop. I let one bus go by. I considered my options. And then I was like, you know what? Let me try it. I got on the bus. As I was on the bus, I went about maybe 3 stops. I got off the bus, came to my senses, and realized, where am I going? I'm 10 years old. I have no money. I have no food. I have nothing. So I got off the bus, and the bus, it happened to be, the third stop happened to be where I went to school. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to get off the bus. Let me just go. Walked over to my school. Saw some friends playing basketball. So I thought, you know, let me just go play basketball with them. Not realizing that, you know, my mom looked out the door and didn't see me. So my mom actually thought that I took off. And so my mom jumped in the car, and she went and chased down the bus. I heard she asked the bus driver where I got off. The bus driver told her, around here. And so then my mom, when all said and done, eventually made her way to the schoolyard where I was playing basketball with my friends. And let's just say, you know, when someone runs away, you have 2 options. You can wish for your mom to come get you, or you can wish that the police find you. Let's say I was hoping the police would be the one to find me. But nonetheless, you know, I was on the bus, going off my way, realized, you know what, where am I going? I had a good home, and it came to my senses. Fast forward, I got home, and I got some sense disciplined into me, but that's another story itself. But, you know, I think about that. It reminds me that, you know, it's so easy to go, you know what, to be discontent as a, you know, think about as a 10-year-old thinking, you know what, well, I don't have what other people have. And to think about my living situation, you know, other people would probably want to have something similar to mine, although I wanted what somebody else had. But the problem in all of that was my own heart. I was not grateful, did not appreciate what my mom, in terms of having to work 2 jobs to feed her kids, but I was just very ungrateful, feeling a sense that I'm entitled to other things. I was not grateful for my situation. You know, I think about, when we think about this parable, and we think about God being our Father, we think about the type of Father we see here in the story is the kind of Father that we have when we think about God. And His desire is for us to enjoy a relationship with Him, to enjoy being in his presence, and all that comes from living under the reign of God. But at times we could be ungrateful for what God has done, not truly remember what God has done in our lives or continues to do in our lives. And we forget. You know, some scriptures to write down in Romans, some biblical parables, when we think about the young man came to his senses. You know, some biblical parallels with that scripture is in Romans 2, Romans 12, verse 2, where it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Another biblical parallel in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23, "To be made new in the attitude of your mind." And Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, "To set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." You know, the son had a change in mindset, and he had a change in heart, which is called repentance. And the son had everything, lost everything, got humbled, realized how good he had it. But sometimes it takes those circumstances to help us to realize how good we really have it. Where sometimes people leave to go, okay, you know, the grass is greener on the other side. Only to go there and go, you know what? You know, no, it's not really greener on the other side. And this young man realized he had sinned against heaven, against his father, realized and said, "No longer worthy to be called your son," said, "Make me like one of your hired men." The attitude of, "I will just do anything." And it took a change in heart and mindset. When all was said and done, the grass was green enough when he lived with his father. The grass was plenty green when he was living with his father. The problem was, he did not take time to water and nurture it. He lost his appreciation. The appreciation didn't grow. Lost his gratitude. And even when the father said to the older son, "All I have is yours," that this father was a very generous father. The parable is often called the parable of the loving father. Because this was a father who loved his sons so much, wanting what was best for them. And that's just the kind of God that we serve. You know, when we think about what I've learned about having and maintaining grass, needs water. For us, some things we've had over the years grow that affect the green grass are weeds. But also, the neighbor's weeds that also affected our lawn, because our neighbors, you know, we would do our service wondering, why is our grass not green? It's because our neighbor's grass lawn was full of weeds. And so therefore, it also affected ours as well. When I think about those three things, what comes to my mind is, you know, to make the grass greener in our circumstances, you know, we need to water it. What I mean by that is we need to have a right attitude in terms of gratitude and appreciating what God has done in our life. Where we grow in being thankful for what God has given us. Being thankful for our salvation, being thankful for the forgiveness and all that comes with God. You know, a man once went to a minister for counseling. He was in the midst of a financial collapse. He says, "You know what? I've lost everything," the man complained. And he said, "Oh, sorry to hear that you've lost your faith." "No," the man corrected him, "I haven't lost my faith. Oh, well then, I'm sad to hear that you've lost your character. I didn't say that. I still have my character. Well, I'm sorry to hear that you've lost your salvation. That's not what I said, the man objected. I haven't lost my salvation. So you have your faith, your character, and your salvation. Seems to me, the minister observed, that you have lost none of the things that really matter. You know, you think about it as a disciple, again, we should be grateful. You know, what is it that we have to complain about? We can find things to complain about. I know at times I find different things to complain about. I want this, I want that. But it should never be as a disciple, where the tenor of our speech is one of complaining, one of negative talk. And it should never be, even when we as disciples were together, it should not be where we come together and we just complain. Or we come together and we share our negative stories. We should be those who talk about how much God has blessed us. We come together, we share with each other to build each other up as to how God has worked in our life and how fired up we need to be in Jesus Christ. But we have an attitude of gratitude, but we're grateful in all circumstances. You know, that's why the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, you know, we can give thanks in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In Philippians chapter 4, we can rejoice in the Lord always. Because what we have to rejoice about, what we have to give thanks about, is not determined by the outward. It is about what God has given us and having the right perspective towards God. You know, you think about the weeds that grow in our lawns. You know, when I think about the weeds that grow, I think about sin. That in order to be grateful for what God has done, we have to be eliminating sin from our hearts. Because if we cherish sin in our hearts, God is not going to be able to water our lives the way that He wants to. And therefore, the goodness that God wants to see grow in our lives will only be hindered because of the weeds that live in our hearts. When I think about the neighbors, and I think about our neighbors, the weeds that come onto our lawn, you know, what I think about is, the scripture that comes to my mind is, that bad company corrupts good character. You know, that is so true. When you think about good company influences us, but it talks about also bad company corrupts good character. That if we're not careful, bad company can very much influence us. And it's one of those things where you may see it. Sometimes if you're around someone, you go, wow, you know what? I'm not very inspired right now. If anything, I feel more discouraged than I feel encouraged. Or you think about if you're neighbors, friends, you think about different standards that they might have or not have. And different behaviors can influence us as disciples if we're not careful. But also can affect how we look at life, how we appreciate things. If we're constantly hearing from someone these different things, if we're not careful, those things can creep into our minds and creep into our hearts and creep into our lives. And I want you to think about a few things here as we begin to wrap up here this morning. You know, what is your attitude toward what God has done in your life? You know, where is your heart and mindset at this morning? You know, what are you thinking will make the grass greener on the other side? You know, we might say I'll be happier and more satisfied, some think, if I were not a Christian. I would be happier if I had a spouse. Some might even go as far to say, if I had a different spouse. If I had a different spouse, life would be so great, is what some might believe. I'd be happier if in the church or in this circumstance, if 1, 2, 3. I'd be happier, more satisfied if. And we could fill in the blanks. But I'll tell you here this morning, the grass is not greener on the other side. We can spend a lot of time in life hoping, wishing for certain things, circumstances, people, or things to change in life. The grass is greener where you water it. The grass is greener when you make the most of your current situation and you do whatever God wants you to do and do your absolute best. And then we start seeing the grass becoming greener and greener in our perspective, changing towards different things in life. You know, you think about the older son. The older son became angry. You know, the older son was self-righteous, didn't really care that his brother returned. But the father explained why they're celebrating. Because the son returned. Because the son had a change in mindset, came to his senses, repented. And God is a God who delights in repentance because it brings times of refreshing. The son made his way back to his father and was in close fellowship again with his father. You know, the grass is greener, as we wrap up here, where you water it. It's not about something else, someone else, some external environment. It is about making the most of what we have and using it for however God wants to use it and having the right perspective. We don't have to rely on the external to find satisfaction or fulfillment. But we must nurture the love and gratitude in our hearts for our Father and what He's done in our life. Cultivate a grateful heart and remember that God is an amazing God. A God who loves each and every one of us. A God that does so much for us and wants us to enjoy everything that He has to offer. Let us do that in our lives, and we'll see that the grass doesn't have to be greener on the other side. The grass can be greener right where we are. We just need to water. Amen.